RPG Lessons Learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned. We're at RPG LL Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, rpgllpodcast@gmail.com, and check us out online at rpglessonslearned.com.
Hello, and welcome to RPG Lessons Learned, the show where you can learn from our mistakes. I'm your co-host, Tanner, and I'm here with Dusty, your main host. What's up, Dusty?
Hey, Tanner, how's it going?
Good. I am going to be interviewing you on this one mainly because this is an adventure I didn't play in. Well, I played in the round one of it, but you ran your Krampus Hex Christmas Extravaganza Mark II for a second party. You really got to make a better title for it than that. I don't know what to call this thing, right?
I do need a better title.
So, but you ran it for a group of strangers on basicfantasy.org forums, right? I guess the idea with this, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you're kind of just trying to get another round of feedback after we played it, right?
It was partially that. It was partially I just wanted to run for strangers again. Like, it's just a thing that I wanted to do. And here it was the Christmas season. I had run this Christmas adventure for you like a few months before or the month before or whatever. So I had this adventure like ready to go for Christmas. I was able to post it in November to get players for, I think I ran this game on like Boxing Day or the day after. And I wanted to run it for strangers, man. It wasn't about playtest. It wasn't about any of that. It was about just giving something back to the BFRPG forums, kind of, but also just having fun playing that adventure twice.
It has been so long since I've gone on the journey to try to find strangers to run a game for. What is that like in 2022, late 2022?
So I've done it a couple times. This is my third time. I ran Dusk, my favorite adventure ever written by the guy from Penny Arcade. And I know Penny Arcade's problematic now, but I do love the adventure Dusk. And then I ran a Halloween game for strangers, and then I've run this Krampus game. So it's the third time I've run online for strangers. This time I did it differently. The first two times I posted to LFG, or Looking for Group, on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And this time I posted the game on the basicfantasy.org forums. There, it's a very collaborative, wonderful space. Chris Goderman does a great job at community building and like warning people and blocking people if they spam. Like, he just does a good job like pruning and maintaining a really good community. And lots of people are contributing and making modules, and it's all free. Like, he puts the adventure out the system out at print cost. Wonderful community. I posted it there. I asked for PM responses, or private messages, I should say. I got four responses of people who were really eager to play, and two of them ghosted me. Wow. Ironically, yeah.
What are their usernames? Say them, put them on blast.
I don't remember. Ironically, the two people who wrote me the longest replies about how excited they were the two who ghosted me. And the two guys who were like, sure, I'll play, are the two guys that showed up.
Yeah, maybe there's something to be said about that kind of casual enthusiasm versus, you know, hyping it up too much. Yeah, I think, obviously RPGs are hard to schedule to begin with, right? But anytime you do something online, like, the flakiness factor is going to at least triple with strangers. And that's just kind of part of the game. But I'm glad you at least got together. So you did things a little bit differently, right? You had them, when we played it, it was one-on-one, and we used your kind of one-on-one hack for BFRPG, playing Fife, going into Santa's Workshop. What did you do differently for these two players?
That's a great point. So we use BFRPG rules as written, and each of those two players played two characters each. Because we talked about it beforehand. I was like, hey, I expected a group of four. It's just you two guys. What do you want to do? We could, and I threw out a couple options, and they were like, yeah, we're both very comfortable running two characters. And sure enough, they're both very seasoned RPG vets. Great players, by the way.
That's kind of the nice thing about going on a forum for a specific game. Like, you will get people who are familiar with the system and are down to make it work, right?
Absolutely. And the pre-mades, like, I had done pre-made characters. They were really into the fact that there were pre-mades. They chose pre-mades. They were very kind about the fact that I had pre-mades, and they thought that they were good. So yeah, the players played two characters. But that's really the only thing that I did differently, Tanner, is I ran BFRPG rules as written, and each player played two characters. But the players were totally different.
There are people different than me online?
A serious question for you. Have you ever run the same adventure twice for more than one group?
Yeah, when we did Holy Matrimony, I think when I ran it for you guys, I think it was the third or fourth time I'd run it. Either I ran it for home groups, I'd ran it at conventions a couple times, and then, yeah, I ran it for you guys as well.
Did you find a tremendous variability between, like, did they do wildly different things?
Not really, but that adventure is so much more linear than what Christmas Krampus is, and you know, L5R is obviously a little bit more restrictive with what you should and shouldn't be doing as characters in that world. So in that sense, I didn't, but I can imagine, I can see where you're going with this. Was it wildly different?
For me, it always is. I have run Dusk for like six groups, no lie, six groups. I have run Terror on the Kataro for three groups, and I'd like to run that one more. I really enjoy Terror on the Kataro. And now I've run the Krampus one for two groups. And each time I find the groups do things completely differently. They approach the adventure differently. They were scared of different things. They were intrigued by different things. It's really, if you've never run the same adventure twice, audience, and maybe I say this in last episode, I alluded to my embarrassment of riches and having a rich gaming life right now. If you only have one game, then I apologize for assuming that you have the same privilege I do. But if you have the opportunity to run the same adventure for multiple groups, boy, I think it's a really neat experience.
So it wasn't like a stress for you. It wasn't like throwing you off too bad. It was just more of an interesting factor rather than like well, they're doing this whole completely different thing, so I got to rewrite this, right?
No, every time I run the same adventure, I get more comfortable with it. And the variation is the source of fun for me. The players doing stuff differently is the reason I find it interesting. And I just get better and better and better and better at running that one adventure.
So when we played this one, I think I blew up Krampus in like two turns. Did they try to seduce Krampus or what? How did they go about it differently?
Oh, yeah, they charmed Krampus. Yeah, but they had to. Let's talk about what went wrong. Combat went wrong. So the combats with the hobgoblins and the goblins and all that was pretty predictable. You know, one or two hit die creatures versus, you know, typically level three. My pre-made characters are all like level three. Actually, they all have the same number of XP. So some are level four like thieves, some are level three, some are level two like magic users, but whatever. A group that has a decent amount of power. So the goblin fights and hobgoblin fights were pretty predictable. Krampus, though, was such a pushover for you that I was like, I've got to give him a better ice spell. So I took a bugbear and I decided that at the beginning of the fight, I was going to give him this ice or breath weapon, this icy spell or whatever. And for this group, I gave Krampus Ice Storm, a level four magic user spell that does 5d6 damage. And in that one opening move, Krampus took out two of the four player characters. So it wiped them and did a ton of damage to the remaining two. So the PCs basically had no choice but to cast Charm. They succeeded. Krampus failed his saving throw. Krampus did not deviate from his course of going out into the world to kidnap children. But Krampus was able to give... Oh, man. Dude, Tanner, talk about this adventure being different. I had to roleplay Krampus.
Oh, yeah. I didn't give him a chance to roleplay at me.
He got to talk about his point of view, that he's taking the children that don't participate in society and don't contribute to society, and that's who he's taking, and he's strengthening society as a whole. Like, I had to come up with this whole thing that Krampus is basically like Krampus eugenics, which, by the way, let me be clear. Eugenics is terrible and awful. So Krampus is...
he's a villain. He's a villain.
He's a villain, yeah. But I had to come up with this whole, like, villainous justification for what he's doing. And when the players were like, maybe you shouldn't do that, charm, 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 he's like, oh, you guys are so silly. I know that you're kidding. Because charm doesn't stop you from doing what you would normally do.
Yeah, it's not like a mind control spell.
But they were able to finagle it so that they could get their heal up and then maybe next year kill Krampus.
It's so interesting that me and you, I don't think we've talked about it on the show, but speaking for myself, and I believe you too, we're both pretty anti-fudging when it comes to die rolls. Is that correct?
Yeah. And once I announced 5d6 and I rolled them openly and it did what it did, I felt like I could not be like, you know what, guys, let's redo that.
Yeah. So by not fudging, you killed two player characters. And a lot of GMs would say, oh, well, that's a good enough reason to fudge, right? But suddenly the story became about charming Krampus and promising him next year that they'll get him back or whatever. Like, I don't know. People say there's just this terrible misconception about dungeon crawls and old school play that there's no role playing and everything is these rote procedures that are dull and stuff. But like, it is the most dynamic kind of game you can have. Like, I don't mean to be talking about my adventure, but like my adventure, Holy Matrimony, like as written, it has like two what ifs in it. Like if the players do this, this will probably happen. If the players do that, this will probably happen. Like that is so much less dynamic than what a dungeon crawl is. And Holy Matrimony is a very role-playing focused adventure. And I don't think like either one is better or worse, but it's just the fact that like, I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just glad you didn't fudge and you let this version of the story happen. Right. I think that that's so much more interesting than, like you say, kind of pulling the punches or letting the player survive with one HP. Like it would do such a disservice to what the game is about.
Dude, don't you be down on Holy Matrimony. I loved that adventure.
Well, thank you.
So combat and Krampus and so Ice Storm was way overpowered. Looking back, I should have given him a White Dragon's Breath weapon. Which does 1d8 per hit die. Like that's how dragon breath works in BFRPG. If it's a 3-hit die dragon, it does 3d8. If it's a 10-hit die dragon, it does 10d8. I think it scales much more nicely.
Yeah.
And I think 3d8 for the bugbear, because I think bugbear is a 3-hit die, would have been a lot more survivable than 5d6.
And it's still an area effect, right? So 3d8 like on 3 or 4 player characters is still pretty threatening.
Yeah, and save versus dragon breath versus save versus spells, which I think is slightly favorable. Like, and honestly, maybe if I'm giving a bugbear a stupid breath weapon anyway, maybe I just say, you know what? He has a 2-hit die breath weapon, even though he's a 3-hit die bugbear, because bugbears aren't supposed to have breath weapons.
Right. Did you go back and edit the adventure since this and fix that?
I did. Yeah, Krampus can now only do 2d8. And then save versus dragon breath for half. So I have very much revised this.
So all the combat was not sort of to your specifications. So what went right with these guys?
The role play. And playing this once before, like I felt like I knew the elves' state of mind. They're a little traumatized. I knew the goblins' state of mind. They had been sort of gentrified, unwillingly rescued, and forced to work against their will. So they were filled with resentment. Like I just felt like I had a much better handle on the characters the second time around. And the different inputs were fine because it kept things interesting for me. But all the role play, I think both my players really enjoyed the role play. They laughed at me for how the last combat went, but they were very generous players. They weren't like immediately like, you're a terrible GM. They were like, yeah, I'd maybe revise
that. Yeah, I don't know. Players laughing at your table is not the worst result you could have, right? Like if everyone's laughing, it can't be all bad.
And I think they enjoyed having a quick conversation with Krampus. Like I was able to think on my feet and make that happen.
That's awesome. Yeah, I did not. I think I murdered him before he had any chance to.
Well, because he deserves it.
Fife did what he had to do. So are you going to run for Strangers again?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I am. I enjoy it. Sometimes they flake out, sometimes whatever. I'm not going to do it a lot. It's not my main source of gaming. You are my main source of gaming. Martin's game is the next main source. I've actually got a friend coming over with his daughter to play, have I told you this? The St. Patty's Adventure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You mentioned that, yeah.
So the St. Patty's Adventure that we ran, that you encouraged me to write, well, guess what? St. Patty's Day is soon. So the day after St. Patrick's Day, 3/18, I will be, is that the day after? Whatever, it doesn't matter. I will be running the St. Patrick's Day Adventure on March 18th for a very good friend of mine and his daughter and my daughter.
That's awesome.
But Strangers, like there's a lot of pressure going in to like get a lot of stuff right because they have no reason to be kind. So I find it kind of an exhilarating challenge to run for Strangers. I imagine it's similar to a comedian, like making that leap from just being funnier with your friends to open mic night. It's just higher pressure. So it's exhilarating.
Yeah, that's awesome, though. The feedback difference, like you said, because I think it's so easy to get kind of caught in your own ecosystem, like you said. Like, I know how to be, I don't want to brag, but I know how to be pretty funny to my friends, and my friends know how to be pretty funny to me. But, like, if you drop me at a party with some people I don't know, and I'm trying to make it work, I don't know if, you know, like, everyone kind of code switches, right? Like, I'm in a different mode when I'm with strangers rather than close friends, and I think that's true for RPG games as well, right?
That's a great point.
So are you going to do the same method of looking for four guys and then only getting two and then running? did that work out well for you?
I think I'm going to go back to LFG.
Yeah.
And I say that especially now, like we're recording this on February 24th. God knows when I'll release it. But given the fairly recent events of the OGL stuff, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are a lot more willing to explore other groups. And I haven't looked at LFG in a while. Again, looking for groups on Reddit. I imagine that it might be more open to games that are not 5e, unlike before.
Yeah.
So I think I would try LFG again. I had better response rates. I think both times, like 4 out of 5 showed up.
I was going to say, if I were you and you want to have 4 players, I would say looking for 6 players, honestly. Luckily, old school type games are, and maybe that's kind of a pain virtually to play with 6 players and 1 GM, but like old school games generally work pretty decently well with bigger party sizes. So maybe that would be, I don't know, that'd be my advice. But if you feel like 5 is good, that's probably good too.
Yeah, I think I'm going to ask for 5. And as long as I get more than 1,
yep.
If I get 1, I think it's like, hey, we call it because it's awkward to role play with a stranger. Mm-hmm. But if it's at least 2 people, I can do the 2 characters thing, or we can do the 2 characters thing and say one of them is a hireling. So you're not really role playing them. You're just doing their combat maneuvers. There's a lot of things you can do with 2 people. With 3 people, I can scale the adventure down. With 4 people, I can run it just fine. As long as I get more than 1 person, I can roll. And if God forbid I ask for 6 and 5 actually show up, I think it's too many for an online game. People are reluctant to talk.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. 5 players can work pretty well with a home group, right? If you're blessed enough to have 5 people all together. And, but yeah, I think, like you said, if you're doing it over Zoom or whatever, I think it can be a little bit rougher.
You know what I would do differently next time? Someone actually, we've gotten fan mail, Tanner.
What?
I know, and I haven't told you this. I'm again, this podcast is such a hobby that I don't devote the time it deserves to it. But Sean, hi, Sean. We've gotten fan mail from a listener named Sean who reached out, and he specifically said, hey, if you do another game like you did on the BFRPG forums, because I had replied to him about, hey, here's where I ran a game. He wanted to know if we were going to go to a convention, and I said, no, I'm doing this instead. I think because of him and maybe the 3 other listeners that we have out there, I I might, yeah, exactly. I might insert kind of a 10-second advertisement for my game in a podcast right before it goes out. That way it's timely, and try to recruit for the game from the podcast. Maybe I'll do that next time. That sounds fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd be down for that.
We should do that.
Yeah, excellent. So lesson learned time?
Absolutely. Playtest your games. Running more than once is great. If you have enough groups, if you have enough gaming in your life, if you're a GM who runs stuff and your players don't get together often enough, like just do reuse your prep. Reuse the prep that you did for your home group that you love and use it online for strangers because you've already prepped it.
Yeah, the satisfaction of like taking a thing, like creating an adventure and refining an adventure are like different enough that I think that both are kind of worth, you know, exploring and having fun with.
And in my experience, again, I just get more and more comfortable in the adventure. And there's such variation from the players that it's its own kind of fun.
Yep, it's different every time. Lesson learned number 2. We didn't kind of talk about this, but I want to bring it up now. Choose the right game for a pickup online game, right? You were soliciting a one-shot with strangers, and what you had was kind of perfect for that, right? You didn't have this huge story-based epic. You know, you didn't have this super complicated thing full of house rules and stuff. Like, you chose the right type of adventure for the game you were hosting, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't do a mystery. I wouldn't have a game that necessitates a Roland type character from our Veiled Society episode. I wouldn't do something that required a ton of crosstalk with the players because I'm like forcing strangers to talk to each other in a way that maybe they don't want to. But like a one-shot dungeon crawl that has a semi-interesting and engaging story and that's seasonally appropriate, perfect.
And lesson learned number 3, what do we got?
Prep what you need to prep. I personally need mechanics prepped. And every GM's different, right? Just recognize what you're good at and what you're bad at. I can riff on role play. I can riff on making up the Krampus's motivation really quickly because I hadn't actually considered it before. And oh crap, now I have to. I can do that on the fly. I can think on my feet and do that. I'm terrible at coming up with how many damage dice would be appropriate in the moment. I'm terrible at like fudging the AC, like the mechanics. I'm just not good at fudging that in the moment. That feels very concrete to me, and I'm not allowed to mess with it, which I know is not true, but it's how it feels to me. So I'm not very flexible. So I should have done a better job thinking about the math and prepping the right Krampus monster. And if you are a person who needs to focus on mechanics, prep your mechanics. If you're a person who needs to focus on roleplay, prep your roleplay by coming up with a bulleted list of lines and character names and whatever. Prep what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting that we've kind of talked about this before, but I think you and I are kind of opposites like that. Like I feel very comfortable being like, I think this does 3d10 damage or whatever, but good ideas and character motivations I need to think about for a longer time. That's really interesting. But yeah, well, I'm glad you got to run it a second time. Hopefully, once Christmas time rolls around again, you'll be able to run it a third time. And I'm sure you'll have a completely different Krampus experience if you were to run it again.
I think I will.
All right, everybody, take care.
People call them postmortems, evaluations, appraisals, reviews, retrospectives. We call them lessons learned, and we're sharing ours with you.